The contents of this podcast might refer to information that has changed since the moment of its recording. Follow us on Twitter at Project Noom to keep up with our latest updates.
We have Mariah Music and Nastasia and Danketsu. They created quite a bit.
Yes, for the class.
Oh no, Mike.
He's got the sound machine going.
Wow.
Okay. Mike, he's got the soundboard going. Oh gosh. They had a release with Noom just a hot minute ago, it seems like. And I'd say it's doing pretty well, but you know, I just have to give shout out. I think it's such a cool concept. What you all do and this particular product, I just really loved it. To me, I thought it was well produced. It was a high quality production, and it's a great piece of music. So, not to mention kind of the narrative behind, you know, what Danketsu is doing, and so just that whole entire just vision for what you all had, that artist collective, creative collective thing going on. I think it's just a. To me, that's just a really cool concept. So I just wanted to give a shout out to y'all just first off before we hop in here. Let's do a quick intros for anybody who doesn't know who you are and what you do. Actually, let's let Danketsu take it away, and you might want to introduce Nastasia for those who do not know. If you don't know who she is, where have you been? You need to. So Danketsu, take it away.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you, Ryan, for the introduction. We're Danketsu. We're a multimedia project that is anime inspired. You know, one of our verticals that we do is music creation, specifically, you know, community driven music production. And, you know, Mirai Music, who's here in the space, they lead everything on that front. And our goal since the beginning has been to onboard as many artists into the Web3 space as possible. And, you know, we've onboarded about 8 artists so far. Now 9 now with Nastasia on board with the Daisuke track. And it's just about, you know, doing the best we can, showing them, you know, what Web3 and Cardano is all about, how they can provide value, but also how, you know, the community can provide value to, I guess, them and their careers as well. So, you know, yes, we have done recently the Newham drop with Nastasia. And, you know, I'll pass the mic over to Mirai Music, and then Nastasia can have her big introduction. I'm happy that, you know, she's finally here in the space, sharing her voice and her knowledge. So I can't wait to learn more about it. But yeah, that's enough for me. There's plenty that we can talk about, and I've already spoken about a lot of our other verticals on other spaces.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go next. Mirai Music, we are a music production company based in LA, and we've been working with a project, you know, Danketsu for more than a year now, I think. And, you know, we didn't know anything, I'll be honest here, about NFTs and Cardano when we joined the project. And then, you know, thanks to them, now we know a bit more. And we were happy to help with this creation of, you know, 100% community-based music concept. And we're having a lot of fun. And through that, we've met a lot of incredible artists. And I think, you know, Nastasia is just one of those, if not the top. We had a lot of fun creating the music with the community, had a lot of fun with her in the studio. She was incredible, both in the writing part of the song and of course execution. She's an amazing singer. Nastasia, please introduce yourself better than I'm doing, and then we'll begin with the space.
Great. I'm super stoked to be here. I'm Nastasia, an artist. I'm also a songwriter. I am a songwriter with Sony Music, and I'm also an independent artist. I have been into crypto on the crypto side, and I'm very new to the NFT side, but I feel like I've manifested all of this because I'm really excited for the chance for artists to first off be more involved and in control of their intellectual property. And I feel like this is a great way. And then adding on to having the community be a part of it, because music and artists, fans and supporters are a big part of it. So it feels more like it's family based and you can really build a sustainable audience and support group. But either way, I'm excited to be here, and I think this is going to be my introduction to also learning more, because I truly believe this is going to be the future. So I'm excited to be a part of something from the beginning.
Nastasia, we're so happy that you're able to swing by, and yes, welcome. I think Dunketsu and Mariah have already done a great job introducing you kind of to this ecosystem, but let me just be the next person to give you a warm welcome. So we're super happy we were able to help facilitate this for you guys. And I think you found a good place with really good people.
I manifested truly. It. I'm telling you.
I love it. Look, I think, you surround yourself with, you put good things out there and good things come back more times than not. So I wanted to give a quick, I think you probably know them, but just for people who don't know some of these other two or three folks that are up here, you have Mikey, you have Abyss, you have Adam, and they're on our strategic partnerships and artist relations is what they do at Neum, amongst other things. So both Mikey and Mitchell, they both are musicians themselves in their own right, as well as Adam. I think he's going to try to give his little kiddo a guitar and a drum set before he can walk.
I named him Gibson, so he has to, okay?
That's absolutely
amazing. I got away with it, you know?
How did you? Never mind.
That's another story.
I still can't believe you got away with that.
We won't digress on that. But Adam, actually, we'll do Adam last. Mikey, Abyss, can you give just a quick intro and just what you do on a daily basis and whatnot?
Yes. Hey, first of all, so great to finally get to meet Dunketsu and Natasha and Mariah Music. I'm Mikey Moe, one of the artist relations managers, and usually I deal with all of the drops, and you guys have been the only drop that I didn't get to deal with, so I apologize for not being able to be involved in that drop, but it's so great to finally hear you guys and meet you. I love the song, and your drop was amazing. Myself and Mitchell, we're the artist relations team, but we also have a record label called Mood Swings Music. And we started a Web3 record label, what was it, probably 2020, a while ago. And we've always been interested in Web3 music because we both come from the independent grind from California, Bay Area. And Neum was just everything. I was investing in Cardano all the way back in 2017, and I believed in what it was going to do. And I knew once a music platform came to it, I wanted to be involved. And that's how I got involved with Neum. And then I brought my right-hand man, Mitchell, on, and here we are. So.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so I know everybody is just calls me by my name. My stage name is Abyss Beats, but you can call me Mitchell either way. I'm not bougie like that. So I mean, everything Mike said is basically how we got into the game. At this point, we're really trying to what was stated earlier, trying to help bridge that gap and bring folks into the Web3 metaverse, if you will, and just help them understand the opportunities from an industry perspective. Let them know that, there is a new music industry, as I like to say, that's here now. It isn't future state. There's ways that you can really benefit from making music and maximizing your IP on this side of the table. So that's really what we're focused on. We're just really glad to be a part of it. So there we are.
Fantastic. And then last but certainly not least is Adam.
Yes.
Adam, give for those who don't know who you are, can you give a quick background and what you've been doing?
Yeah.
And then what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a musician by trade and an entrepreneur by spirit and a bit of a tech junkie. Started in as an independent artist and also worked with another music tech startup called Sync Tank, and doing a lot of catalog management and licensing and software for some of the majors, hundreds of independent record labels and publishers, most of the film studios I've worked with. And so I've kind of seen the industry from a lot of angles doing that, and got bit by the crypto bug in 2017 and returned to it in 2021, and found my way to Noom from just being a Cardano fan. And I just bugged Ryan until he let me help, basically. So that's kind of how I ended up here. And I'm working with Mikey and Mitch on the artist relations side and also business development. And we've been doing these drops now, or six or seven in at this point, and kind of incubating the whole process. And it's been awesome. We're learning a lot, working with a lot of great artists. And I'm real, you know, this was one that I was really, really excited about, just the quality of the track. Mirai, Donketsu, the scope of the project is amazing. And Nastasia, I mean, she's being real humble right now, but if you saw her songwriting credits and people she's worked with, you'll realize real quick how significant this drop is and why we're all so excited. And even if you don't see any of that and you hear the song, I mean, it's fire. So we're real stoked about this.
I'm not going to lie. It's not a bad thing when I wake up and I hit play. And it annoys my wife because she's cohabitating in the same room, but I have to do something to wake myself up. And so it's music, right? So it's what it is. So I'll turn it on, and she'll go, "Oh, turn down music." And I'm going, "Sweetie, I'm paying myself. Chill out." And it's waking me up. This is fantastic. Calm down. So then she laughs at me, and then life is good again. But anywho, I digress. Nastasia, first off, I love that you're coming from this from, you know, independent artist side, but also industry side. So I was in LA for a couple of years. I went to school out at USC. So I have bigger ties to Warner, just because of some publishing. And I have I don't know if Mirai Music, if y'all know, there's a place, a mastering studio on Warner campus called The Bakery. There's a lovely mastering engineer. Her name is Jet Galindo. She does a lot of good work. I've done some work with her out there. So that was super, super fun. But anywho, all that to say, I think you bring a unique experience to this, because you know there's valid pathways to being an artist from the independent side and the industry side. And there's pros and cons to both, and give and take. So for me, I actually just have a quick question for you. You know, out of your experience with Donketsu and Mirai Music, and kind of just doing this particular project, and seeing the concept of what we're doing here, with that fractionalization and, you know, those sharing and the streaming royalty income and all those things, you know, what sticks out to you? How does that resonate with you? Kind of what are your initial thoughts, and what does that kind of evoke for you as an artist coming at it from both sides? And, you know, a lot of times treating fan base, you know, as kind of it's a value extraction a lot of times. And also, you know, coming at it from the industry side, the music, ironically enough, is the very thing that they don't count the most as far as the revenue income. It's more touring and merch and whatnot for a lot of it. So I just would love to get some of your just initial thoughts on your experience with this whole process, and kind of what type of impact has it kind of had on you in general? And that's very open.
No, great question. I think when you first asked the beginning of the question, the first thing I thought of that stood out to me was how there's a lot of community involvement, which was very new for me, but I thought was super amazing because I feel like that's a way to even feel more connected to the artist and also get to know the artist more. I think now it's a little harder to connect with an artist unless you're, you know, always on social media and doing lives and stuff like this and stuff like that. But it's on a personal side. It's not even really connecting with the artists when it comes to their music. So for me, I think the community involvement is super awesome. And that's totally different for me. But I can see, even as a listener, if there's other artists who are doing the same thing, if I can say that I am involved in the songs that they're doing, I think it would make me love that artist even more and be a lot more invested in that artist's success.
No, I think that's a fantastic answer. I know you mentioned this, something you said earlier kind of stuck out to me, and you were talking about, it was just in reference to your fan base and having, you know, people follow your career, or how much, you know, I feel like right nowadays we have instant gratification and people's attentions, you're being pulled 10,000 different ways. And it's really hard, I think, sometimes for artists to have retention from their fan base. It's fluid, right? But the fans come and go. But you kind of want retention from your core fan base. And so, you know, when you just briefly touched on that, I actually would love your thoughts on this. I'm, you know, for me, having partial ownership over the streaming income for this, you know, I'm going to be keeping mine for, I don't have an intention to sell anything because I don't really want to. I like the music and I think it's going to be something that's going to be around for a long time. What do you think about the impact that this could potentially have on long-term fan retention for you as an artist?
Well, being that I have a lot of things coming up, I think on that front, it would be a great investment. But I think also being able to know that you were, you know, a part of an artist's growth from the very beginning, without saying too much, I'm just really excited about what I have coming up. And I really feel like, man, this is like a great opportunity to be involved in something that's going to continue to grow. And then also for me, I could, like, albums that I do have more community involvement and more people, you know, hop on board because of what's going on. Hopefully I answered your question right, but that's what I think of when I think of that.
I totally get you on that. Oh, Mikey, are you there?
I just wanted to say to that point that you guys are saying, I think, well, for me, and me and Mitch talk about this a lot, I think what Noom does is it brings out supporters. I think supporters are a level above fans because, you know, like she said, when people really want to get involved with what you're doing, like, that's beyond just a fan. You know, a fan doesn't do as much as get involved in your career. Like, that's the beauty of Noom. So I just wanted to say that because I think fans is putting it too light. I think we need to start calling them supporters.
I do think we're coming to a point in the industry where the terms label or fan or supporter, or we're going to have to kind of create our new lexicon of terms, I think, because there's so much that's able to be facilitated, I think, with the tech, and then coupling that with a good business sense and understanding a pulse of your community. I think that's going to enable a lot of things. Nastasia, Mikey said something a couple weeks ago about their drop, and I think this is extremely important, and I think you were touching on this a little bit, and I'm not going to put words in Mikey's mouth, but he did say this, and it was recorded, so it's okay. He said, and I quote, something along the lines of, you know, for me, this is different from somebody buying a CD. This is different from somebody buying a download. To me, this is somebody choosing me as an artist. And that's extremely, for him, it's a much more personal connection, to your point. And I think it's, it hits differently than just somebody consuming.
That's so beautiful. And I love that.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Yeah, we haven't even spoken of all the other bits and pieces that the tokens being in your fan or your supporters' wallets can enable. I think that's, you know, a big part of the roadmap we're looking at as far as token gating and allowing access to the artist directly for fans, and having other things that you can monetize, and just going beyond that simple bond of owning a piece of music, and what other things and experiences you can create from that technology. I think there's a lot more to get to, and I know we're excited about exploring all those areas.
Yeah. I was just going to say to that, like, that kind of, you know, speaks to Mike's point, like above and beyond a fan, right? Like, I think the reason why we don't have a term for it, because it really hasn't existed until now, right? I mean, this is like a new level of artist fan engagement, where you are really able to foster that relationship, and this person is investing in you and seeing your potential. So absolutely. And to Adam's point, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as that level of engagement. There's so much more on the roadmap to come to even further strengthen that bond. So absolutely.
That's why I really love the word community. I think at this moment, community describes it best.
I'm with you on that. And Adam was already speaking to this, and I wasn't going to be a nerd and go down that rabbit hole, but since you brought it up, we'll go there for just a very brief moment, and then we'll come right back up. So Nastasia, you know, Neum, what we're aiming to do, this is just the first step, right? The tech, all the techie stuff that nobody in a consumer facing product really care about. That same tech works for different types of IP. It works for all those. That fractionalization component, it works. It doesn't matter. There's the legal aspects and having, and you know, we want to make this available, these tools available for every artist, right? And that's one of our biggest things, is we want to make an equal playing field for artists. And so I think one of the big things for Web3 is that you have a lot of musicians that are just so excited about the tech that they just jump right into creation. And then some of them don't think about the business side, and they, you know, you can get in trouble and can get yourself in a situation legally that life is not going to be very, very pleasant for you as an artist, i.e. promising things if you purchase something and then not following through, right? So part of what we're trying to do is to create those boilerplate contracts that it makes it to where, oh, I want to fractionalize streaming royalties or streaming royalty income. Great, here's this one. Hey, I want to fractionalize, you know, mechanicals. Okay, well, there's this one, right? That way it's the cover your own rear end concept of, that way the artist can use this and not have to worry about, oh, did I promise something or didn't promise something? Let's make sure, you know, that way we're working to move in that direction. We chose streaming royalties, and I think anybody knows this, but, you know, it's the least perceived value out of all the different types of potential income that that piece of music can generate, either the recording or the composition, supposedly, right? And we know that there's more to that equation, and I know Adam can speak to that and whatnot, but it's the lowest hanging fruit, theoretically. And part of this is educational, because, you know, I always preach that what we're doing is we're just building the tools. We're building hammers and nails. And it's up to the artist and the musicians and people that are in this new space to assemble different things. And that gets into the whole concept of, you know, I personally envision a world where one day, you as an artist, or myself as an artist, we'll be able to fractionalize our master rights or our mechanical rights. But in order to get access as a person who wants to be a part of that, you need to have skin in the game, quote, in the other types, right? Think about all the other different types. And so in order to even get access to purchase a portion of the masters or a portion of the mechanical or sync or whatever, you have to have a certain level of ownership everywhere else. That way you're assumed to be a good actor, right? And so an issue like that, I think of musicians as being able to essentially lease out the rights. That's super easy to do from a tech side and crypto. You can do time-locked contracts. So prime example, if I wanted to take part of your song streaming royalty income tokens that we have, our stream tokens, I could put those for lease to where I can put them up for sale. Somebody can lease them. And then after the time has allotted, they revert, the custody reverts back to the original owner. So leasing rights is super easy to do and super transparent in the blockchain space. So there's so much of the business aspect and actually using the music itself as a currency, essentially. And that to me is the turning point for the industry, because I think that's where we've gone astray. And that's where we need to come back to is it's the art, it's the music itself. And yes, you know this better than most, it's the artist that's a product, right? But it's that juxtaposition to the artist as a product themselves, but their art has value. And that's something that I think we've done it to ourselves, for better or for worse, but us, I think, as a society, we don't value music or that sonic art as much as we do maybe visual art, because people just pay their subscription fees and they consume as much as they want and they don't stop to think or even made aware of all of the amount of hours that go into the creation of what you hear when you listen on Spotify or wherever. You all know this, all the hours spent in the studio making artistic choices, and which is just as valuable as somebody drawing something on a canvas, right? And so I think it's our job to re-educate the populace and for them to truly understand the value proposition behind the thing that we all do, you know? So this is, for me, that gets me going. And that's where I see blockchain and particularly Noom coming into play with all this. So Dunketsu, what you got?
Thanks for that, Ryan. I just wanted to ask Nastasia, because, you know, we're talking about the tech behind things and the new innovations and what's to come. But I wanted to kind of get Nastasia's thoughts on, you know, how has being involved in this new one process or being in Web3, I guess, impacted your vision for how you want your career to be moving forward with? You know, how has that impacted your way of approach? And, you know, maybe even the songwriting side of things as well, because we know you have a new EP coming out very soon, and I'd love to hear more about that. But how has it shaped you as an artist moving forward?
It's definitely given me some great ideas in terms of involving people who love my music. Especially, there's a lot of people in the world who maybe don't want to do music as like a full-time job or actually really want to do it or chase it. They have a whole nother career, but they would like to be involved in some type of way. So even like involving community, like, you know, in my sessions or having, you know, the community help me write a song, I've gotten a lot of those type of ideas around just how to get the community more involved. That's as far as I've gotten. Also, aside from that, even like doing private albums where the album is just for Web3, like it's only, you know, if you're in that community, you get this album. So those are the couple of ideas that I have thought about doing in the future from this, for sure.
Yeah, that rarity factor. And once you add that rarity factor, that it's only going to be released this way, maybe in a limited amount, or, you know, I mean, that adds value right away, instantly.
I think, and this is something in reference to that, and right, we're getting into that gamification aspect, right? It's allowing you to gamify the music experience. And I think Nastasia, to your point, you're talking about, you know, private sessions and you know, only people with this in their wallet get access to that and whatnot. That's that token gating. And it's just a fancy term for going, hey, if you you only get access to this if you have this in your wallet. That's basically what that amounts to. But I actually think there's something pretty magical about knowing that like a live performance or a performance, there's a finality to it, as in maybe you won't be able to ever hear it again because it wasn't recorded, and that was on purpose. Yeah. Right. I think there's something pretty magical about that. So I think that's a really, really cool concept.
I think when people go on tour, they should record every show. Like take the Grateful Dead, for instance. They recorded like thousands and thousands and thousands of concerts. Imagine if they put those out in a limited way or in the Web 3, if they had that all throughout those years, they would have monetized them all. There's so many more tools now.
Yeah. Adam and I were just having this conversation the other day because, you know, there's something about not only that exclusivity factor, but the magic that's captured with live music. You know, I mean, sometimes even the artist can't replicate what could happen at a show, right? Sometimes the stars just align and that live take or that live show is just priceless. So to your point, if that's not recorded anywhere, you know, if that's not captured, then only the folks that were there can have that experience or, you know, that can share that memory. What's so cool about something like this is, you know, I'm hearing things like that even in Web 2, like you see it in comedy specials now where they're, you know, they got the phone bag, right, where you can't record it and things like that. But obviously, there's other purposes behind that, too. But just being able to now have a forum where the people that were there or do own it in this instance can also talk about it and communicate and connect with each other over this piece of art as well. And they own it. I mean, it's just so many like aspects and things that you can do with that as an artist, let alone as a fan and a music lover. So.
Nastasia, I have a question for you, and this is something that I am excited about personally, it goes back to kind of treating your music IP, that creative process as a currency, because I know you know this, but when you have studio time, you know, from the moment you go from conception to here's the product from that recorded piece of work, there's so many people that could potentially put their hands on it and have some contribution in the process, whether that's the mastering, mixing engineers, you know, backup singers, if you have studio musicians, all the things that require money, right? And I know, you know, a lot of times there's the contracts of, you know, well, you either contract out the backup singers or those instrumentalists, and they don't come away with that session of having any actual legal, quote, ownership over the thing that they just helped create. And that works for, you know, labels that have the money to pay for the studio session time. But there's a lot of musicians who don't have, you know, especially not well-known, and like to your point, of those that don't do it full-time, right? But they want to go and create, but they want to have that same quality of production. I see a world where they go, hey, let's give anybody, let's, we can work it out beforehand. But when you met, we preset and go, hey, mix engineer, you get 5% of the streaming, or, hey, you know, mastering engineer, you get obviously 5% of the master, and then you get X amount of this or whatnot. But basically using portions of the ownership of that creative process as currency to pay the people that are helping you create the process, as opposed to just, you know, paying them that one-time fee. Now, I know there's pros and cons, but to me, that's a really exciting option, I think, for musicians who have something really important to say, they want to say it, but they don't necessarily have, you know, $10,000, $15,000 laying around to go, like in my case, go rent out Ocean Way for like 3 days to go do umpteen jillion takes. You know what I mean? What are your thoughts on that? Is that, has that crossed your mind? Any,
you know, that's actually something that is done. So that's not far-fetched at all. I think that's a great idea, because even now, especially when you have some sort of a relationship with the people you work with, a lot of times, if you don't have a budget, they could possibly agree to a certain percentage of publishing or on the master side in place of an upfront fee. So I think that is definitely what can happen into the Web3 space, because it already happens now. So for sure. My first album, a lot of my first album was that. So I had, you know, a lot of producer friends work with me, and I did not pay a lot because it was, okay, I'll give you a percentage of this and this, you know, and we agreed like that. So it definitely happens that way.
So we're kind bringing that into the Web3 world and making it more efficient.
But that's good because it's not far-fetched. So it's going to be an easy merge.
Right. It's an easy sell.
For that side of the equation, there's artists with horror stories about, you know, they do the work and then they say, all right, here's the deal. And then they do the work. And then somebody, whether better or worse, somebody maybe didn't read a contract right, or somebody didn't understand X, Y, and Z. Somebody sometimes gets their feelings hurt, or feels like they've been wronged or whatnot. And I think for us, this is going to be extremely helpful, because like on our artist portal that we're creating, it's very, very clear of, all right, here's the entity that has partial ownership. How much percentage do they have? Great. And you go down and list it. And so that way, to me, I think it's really special that we're taking care of that from the moment of conception, laying out the roadmap of ownership, not after the fact. And I think
that's blockchain ethos, right? You know, having trustlessness and transparency, and making that all part of what goes into the equation.
I was going to speak to that too, because to Nastasia's point, you do see similar models in Web 2. Like there's an artist by the name of LaRussell that's doing similar like royalty sharing things. And he does claim that there's some blockchain relation to it. But as we know, there's other processes and projects that do that. But, you know, the security that not only the blockchain layer brings, but Cardano specifically, in the manner in which, you know, the streaming tokens are minted and then shared amongst the wallets, and that, you know, that trustless transaction is very unique from what I'm seeing in the landscape, both Web3 and Web2. So this is, it's exciting in that manner as well, just from the technological advances that the streaming token has built in.
No doubt. Hey, Don's Coyote, how are you doing? I see you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Hey, I always like these spaces because I like to share my kind of unique perspective, because I feel like I'm kind of early on this train with being able to interact with artists and such that I would never interact with on kind of like my daily basis. So to me, just that simple value proposition is worth me spending money to like build these connections. And I know a lot of people will use kind of like the first concert of the artist, you know, like you get an NFT ticket for the first concert of the Beatles or whatever, and you can show that ticket, and that's where the value of your NFT or whatever comes from, as being the first concert. But like where we have it now, it takes it so many degrees further, where like my name with some of the lyrics for the songs is on the metadata, and I can say that I like collabed with these artists to help bring the songs to life. And like you can take it so much further, and I don't know, I just think it's real beautiful, and people just don't realize how integrated you can be with the very artists that you want to listen to.
That's so...
Oh, guys, yeah. Sorry, Nastasia, like, Don's is a core... I think you men, you're part of all the songs at this point. You helped us writing the lyrics. I think you have a part where you're singing as well in Aramar, if I'm not mistaken. You're saying the hey in the chorus, or no?
I didn't get on that, but I wanted to. But I helped out in other regards. It's okay.
Yeah, and I think to that, like, what I think for me, when we started this process, I had no idea of how to actually make it work, and we figured it out step by step, thanks to the community and to people like Don's that were so proactive in suggesting and participating with the creation. And in this song, we just, at the beginning of the song, if you guys go and listen, there's one of the members is singing Daisuke, you know, straight in his phone. And then, you know, we just put some processing on the voice. And that's, for us, was basically a thank you to the community, because that's exactly the process in those 3 seconds. They give us a feedback. We try to filter that feedback in something. And then with the help of amazing artists like Nastasia, we just bring that to the next level. And at the point, it's a song that we all produce together. And yeah, so I just need to thank you. Don's was an incredible.
Wait, awesome. When you got the speaker from the phone, let me guess, was it Isotope Spectral Denoise a couple passes through on that phone recording?
Nope. I'm not sharing that. But wrong.
So I got to ask, because all the tech stuff is great, but I'm a music nerd first, and this whole community-driven production and recording is very fascinating to me, and it seems like no one's doing it to the extent that y'all are. Take us through how this track is born, what point Nastasia comes in, what does the production process look like? Fill us in with all the secrets of how everyone comes together and makes this possible. I got to hear some details.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the whole process starts with storytelling. That's a great part about the Danketsu. And I think that's the way I'm used to work when I develop music. If someone is telling me a story, I can kind of like imagine music. But the beautiful part is we talk with the community about, okay, so this clan specifically, what's the energy around this clan? If this clan were to be a song, what song would it be? And we ask them to basically post, or, you know, their ideas, and we filter those ideas in different ways. Now we have kind of a process set up where we listen to those, whatever, like 200 submissions, and we write down in an Excel file all the instrumentations, the BPMs, the genre, the key, you know, of the song and everything else. And we kind of filter the main elements, the common elements in between all those tracks. And from that point, we created for this one 4 beats and for them to vote, right? So with those 4 beats that were a fusion, a mix of those elements, we asked them, okay, are we close to the feeling of this clan or not, right? What is the best of these? And they voted on that, and was a mix of very like tribal, but authentic, like ethnic music and like dance/, you know, tribal house. So at the point we're like, okay, so is a more modern spin on something very like tribal, connected with nature and everything else. So when we have that thing, we start developing a structure of the song, and we ask, okay, is this getting closer, right? Like each step is a question for the community to help us. And then at that point, we got in touch with Nastasia, and we explained the whole process to her. She was super excited, and we had a session where we talked about the lyrics. And so, okay, now we have the music. What are the main elements of this clan, the story behind it, the energy behind it? And with Nastasia and all the community members, we started writing lines. We asked them to, you know, just send over lines, and all those lines we filtered, created like a structure for the song, verse, bridge, you know, special chorus. We asked them, okay, fill out the words. We have some parts missing, help. Nastasia did the same. And at the point we had a, you know, studio recording, and a community, you know, could follow that process along as well. And at the end, we asked the community to send us, even via phone, doesn't matter, a little line that you can guys hear in the chorus when they say "daisuke." So we ask the community to send, you know, vocal chops of that, and we put that in the chorus. So it's this is like a long explanation, but it's really feedback and you know, going back and forth and trying to get closer to what the community wants and filter that.
That's amazing. And timeline, like how from start to finish, what are we talking?
So I think, you know, at the beginning, the first time we tried was probably a couple of months. Now we're getting better. So at times we can do it in, I guess, like 6 weeks kind of thing, because we know exactly all the steps. We organize the steps in advance and so on. But then there's also that aspect of, is the song ready, right? That's, I mean, the artist part is always there. So are we ready to actually release these? Do we want to work on these as well? And we give the right time to the artist, in this case, Nastasia, to actually process the music and feel comfortable with the mixing. You know, we had back and forth on that as well. Because that's, I guess, the challenging part. And I think Nastasia done that beautifully, because I guess, you know, if you're an artist, you know this very well. There's a big factor that is the ego at times, where you really feel you know what's the best choice. And myself included, at times I'm like, I don't know about that. But I think Nastasia was very open to, okay, so this is not my usual thing, but let's try to see why they want to do this and how can we make this better. And at the end of the day, yeah, I think that now we can do it in like 6 weeks plus creative space for us to change stuff around.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry, I have to ask. This is all being facilitated in like a Discord, or what is the medium that you're communicating with your community?
Yeah, we have a special channels in Discord. You know, part of the community bought what we call the Music Pass. Back when we created the first song called Aramar, where there's Billy Martin playing guitar and there's Kitty Bell and Iago singing. And so they get access to the Discord channel and we do live there, back and forth chat and so on. And the first couple of steps, especially the ones with general selection, we can do that in Twitter as well, where we be like, just post here, you know, the song that you think is close. And the real goal is to get, you know, as many people as possible involved, right? So we're using Discord, but also Twitter is a great tool for that.
Remember, we also spoke, for those of you who caught the YouTube live with Dunketsu and Mirai Music, we were speaking briefly about governance. And you know, for those of you who are Noom holders, you know, we just had a governance vote like a month ago. I guess that's been a month. But we were talking on there about going, yeah, that same governance system, it's a really cool concept to have that baked into the platform, to where if you are a, like you said, if you have that music pass, you can participate in this vote. Or let's say you have the streaming tokens from this latest drop that lets you participate in a vote for something else, right? And I think that's a need, right? Because you guys are making Discord work for you and Twitter work for you, but I think it'd be nice to have on-chain voting for some of this stuff too. Not necessarily saying everything has to be on-chain. This could be off-chain and or side-chain stuff, but I digress.
I got to say to Don's point earlier, I mean, after hearing that, what a better way to have not just fan engagement, but make fans feel like they are literally part of the band. I mean, I know when I'm singing along to a song, I feel like I'm part of a band, but if as the lyrics are going by, I know I added that melody line or that lyric or voted on this piece. Maybe I didn't win the vote and I'm annoyed that it should be this way, but it's still fun to think about. Like, I mean, what a cool process and what a great way to build a community of really super fans. And, you know, you know, the more fans you have, the bigger the band is. I mean, amazing.
Yeah. I'm gonna add to that, because as engrossed as I am in the creation process, I also recognize creations from some of the other members in the Discord that I've met in real life. So I can hear, sometimes I hear like their voices, like in when I'm listening to the song, and I know that they've made the lyrics, even though Nastasia is singing it, like my brain puts their voice there and the lyrics they created. I don't know. It's just wild. It's completely wild.
That's super cool. And for people that are like, even if you're a hobbyist or you're not like to Nastasia's point of, you know, a full-time musician career wise, you know, what a way to dip your toes in the water and learn and work alongside, you know, great artists and great songwriters and producers and just be a part of it and learn. I mean, I know Abyss and Mikey are like, we're thinking right now, we gotta do this ourselves. we gotta try something
yeah,
like this.
Yeah. I'm just absolutely over here with my mind blown. Like, I'm so, you guys, have done such a phenomenal job, and hearing your story, I knew there had to be a dope story behind the song, and the way you just went through all of that, I'm just over here just like, I feel like a big fan. But well, no, nah, man, it's beautiful story. I feel like
there's two points in this I think that are really important, and one is selfishly for us, I think that Noom is a perfect fit for music collectives, because of the tech, because of that fractionalization aspect, and it allows ease of doing that. But just to a bigger point, Dunketsu, I feel like you guys need to honestly add some marketing to the fact of going, because like in Nashville we have songwriter circles that happen, but a lot of those you have to be invited to go to them, and so it ends up being a kind of not a cool kids club, but some of them are, a little bit more, they're selective. This is literally a way for anybody to show up to a songwriter collective, regardless of, you know, any prior contributions. Everybody gets to interact with potentially extremely talented individuals. That's really, really cool and big value prop.
So to that point, how many people participated in this song? And then it's the next question is, what do you guys think you could scale it to?
That's a great question. Please tell me.
I just want to be really quick, you know, from a Dunketsu point of view, this is only one of our verticals that we try to kind of put out there into the world. And we didn't realize how big it got in terms of our ability to onboard the artists, but then also figure out a really smooth and efficient process with many moving parts. I do agree that, you know, that we need to push a lot on the marketing, because it is really high value, like what Don's was saying. You know, it's this kind of experience where you get to, you know, have a conversation with the artist who's writing the lyrics. You see them on the Zoom call, and you're providing your input. You know, that's priceless. And we need to get more eyes on it, absolutely. And yeah, we'll continue to work on that, because that's something that's one of our goals for this year as well. But I'll pass it over to Ricardo.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with Tommy on these. And I just wanted to expand before answering your question, Adam, on the fact that I realized, for example, the day we went to the studio and, you know, we recorded everything and shared with the community. So the recording engineer that day is a guy that works in a studio here in LA with whatever, like, just name it, you know, Chance the Rapper, just the day before our session and everything else. And, you know, even if you are a pro or semi-pro, you want to become like a recording engineer, you have that guy that is showing you how is recording Nastasia, right? What kind of plugins is put in there? And you have Nastasia, that she's a top player, talking about, oh, I want more of these, more of that on my vocals. I want this specific. And it's just absolutely incredible. I thought that day, I thought about myself being 16 and wanting to be, you know, a musician and producer. Having that chance as well would have been like just lovely, just awesome. You feel you're learning from the best, and it's just a live masterclass. You get to ask questions. It's just incredible. But to answer your question, I think Tommy knows the numbers better about, you know, how many people are participating to the song. I would say, I don't know, like 100, 50, 100, something like that. But my main goal is the scalability of these. And I think we are at the point with Mirai Music where we really are sitting down weekly thinking about a very smooth process to go from here to whatever artist it has, I don't know, like millions of fans, and creating a platform and a system. And I think we're almost there to do this, right? It doesn't mean that Nastasia was saying this beautifully before, it doesn't mean you need to do an entire, you know, 12 tracks album with your community, but how about a 7 tracks album and one of those tracks is community based, right? Or a special album that you just, you know, give to your fans. And I think it's very scalable. It's very hard, but I think we got a system and I'm very, very excited about trying out, you know, in also different situations.
Well, I know that Noom can scale to 100 million, so we got you covered there. I just want to know now. I want to know what Nastasia's mic of choice is in the studio, and then I want to know what your EQ signature is. I'm like, are we boosting you at like the 3600 frequency? What's? I just want to know all the fun things, but just throwing that out there.
Well, and first, I wanna say, I agree with you guys. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people who would love to, like, maybe on their bucket list, it's like one time, even though I don't want to be an artist necessarily, I just really love music and it would be dope to one day record a song or be a part of a song. So when Don's brought that up, I'm like, that's exactly what I mean. There's so many people who maybe, you know, they don't want to do music for real, but they would love to say that they were a part of something or a part of writing a song. And so I think, you know, this is really cool for that. But actually, I always say cut my lows down because I have a thick voice. And so you can really cut my highs up and it will still, my tone will still come through and it will never be too high. That's like my go-to. And I like a crispy mic. I want it to sound very crispy.
That's it. Just tell them crispy. Yes, extra crispy.
I absolutely love that you just entertained my question. Thank you so much. Oh, that made my day.
And I got to say it was a learning experience for me as well because I think Nastasia is very good at explaining what she wants. But also she was using I don't know, what did you say? It was at a certain point, juice, no, it was about juice or something.
No, and I was like, okay. Okay, so I was raised in North Carolina, I'm from the South. And so I was like, you know, can you cut it up? And for me, that means turn the volume up. But I've noticed that when I've said that a couple of times in different sessions, and you weren't even the first one that, you know, you're kind of like, what, cut it up? But that means like turn the volume up. Am I the only one who knows what that means?
No.
I didn't know what that means. Cut sounds like take some away, but up means to add. So
I know what you mean. My family's from South Carolina, so I know exactly what you mean.
can we just take a moment to appreciate, Nastasia, I can already tell, but for folks that are going, okay, how can you tell like a good recording artist? Yeah, they can sound good, but those artists who know what they want and they have the vocabulary to explain it to where the engineers can understand what they're asking for. That's a rarity to find many people who fall into that category.
You got to know it works.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, and she definitely knows how to explain because, well, first of all, guys, I'm not a native speaker, as you may notice. So some of those I just don't understand, and I understand very basic volume up or down at times. So that's my bad as well. But Nastasia is very precise, and she knows, and that's beautiful to see, right? Because when you have an artist like that, a musician like that, and knows her or his stuff, it's just very easy work then.
I'll never forget I learned to read lead sheets from Little Richard's pianist. I played with his band in Mississippi. That's where I grew up. And I'll never forget, his name was Chalmers. He sat the piece of paper down in front of me, and I was like, what the heck is all this mess? And I'll never forget, they said, you know, and you know this, but it's like time is money in the studio. And it's how fast and efficient can you get the good takes to save that money for that good product? So having that lingo, that's so important. But Nastasia, yeah, what's your mic of choice? I just have to ask if you have one.
Oh, is it there's a couple, but I think most recently I've used the Neumann? It's either 87 or 47. Oh my God, I can't remember.
Yeah. Ooh, the small, it's like a smaller one, right? The condenser. Yeah.
Norman. Sorry, I knew it was something like that. Oh, but yeah. I was at Westlake Studios and they have like a whole bunch of mics. And I just said, I don't know, just give me something really crispy. And that's what they pulled out.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
But right now I use for my home, the Antelope Edge, which has 12 emulations. So I'm able to.
Wait. Oh, speak to me. I use the Townsend Labs Sphere L22 emulation mic. It's a dual diaphragm. Sorry. That's my nerd.
We'll talk later.
Deal. Okay, so Nastasia, I know we've been on for an hour, and I know we want to be respectful of your time and Danketsu's time as well. Guys, I know Nastasia, you have something coming up, I think, as well, and totally fine if you want to do I don't want to use the word shill because that's a very crypto thing.
A plug.
Thank you. Words, they escape me. But if you want to give us a quick plug for it, that'd be wonderful. And then, you know, you guys, we can get ready to close out the space and you guys can have the last word on that.
Thank you. No, I'll just say I'm very excited about this. I'm super honored to be a part of this. I believe this Web3 space is going to be super huge and it's going to be history. You know, it is history in the making. And so I'm excited to be here. I am working on an album. I'm also releasing in Italy. Today I just found out that, I had a number one song in Italy, and today I found out that it has been the most listened to in 10 years in Italy. So today I'm kind of celebrating a little bit, and that made me even
more. What's the name of the song?
Cielo nella stanza. Ricardo, you can tell me if I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
You're going to really put that thing on.
Yeah, il cielo in una stanza.
You're going to have to DM that to me.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm excited about that today, yeah. But I am working on a new project. Should be released this year with some great people. I'm going to keep it on the hush-hush until it's all the way done, but it's exciting. It's probably the biggest team I've ever worked with, and so I'm really excited for that.
Oh, I'm super. First off, congratulations. That's always great news to get, and I'm going to be following to know what all the deets are. That's fantastic. Danketsu, Mariah Music. I just want to say a special thanks to the two of y'all for two things. One, you guys coming and choosing to do something with Neum, but also two, and I think it's more important, for helping to spread and bring new people into this creepy, weird Web3 space. And thank you for bringing Nastasia into the space and showing her a good experience and you know, kind of helping just wrap her up in a great community. So thank y'all both. Y'all are doing wonderful things, not just for music, but just for the adoption of crypto in general. So thank y'all both for that.
Thank you. Very, very kind words. You know, we have just a quick alpha before we end. We have a very small drop coming out in collaboration with Nastasia. And, you know, we spoke about it previously about, you know, providing this intimate and token gated experience. And so, you know, we want to give Nastasia, I guess, that experience to kind of provide that value to the community. So it will be a very, very small drop. It's a small taste for her as well, but it's just letting her understand the opportunities that lies ahead for her in the Web3 space. So shout out to Nastasia for giving us the opportunity again, for letting her be part of the process. And yeah, we can't wait to see what happens next with us and the rest of the team.
I'm looking forward to maybe watching you guys do some token gating to anybody who might be a streaming token holder of your sale. That'll be fun to see. Nastasia, you are a beautiful soul and a wonderful musician. Thank you for spending time with us today. And just so we can kind of get to know you a little bit better. I know you have many other things you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Can I ask you guys one question before you go?
Sure.
I wanted to ask them, you know, just because I'm part of the artist relations team and, you know, it's a dream job of mine and everybody could always improve. So I want to know, how has your experience been with your release with Noom? Like, is there anything that we can do to improve so that, you know, I would like to know, just for my personal growth with the company, is there anything that we can do to improve? Is there anything that you guys would have done different?
Sure. Great question. I think, you know, Noom is doing something that's revolutionary. And so with that, there's going to be some disruption and I guess a really big onboarding process or educational process for those that who don't know. You know, when we announced that we were doing a job with Noom, we had a lot of our core community not even realizing that you guys existed, right? But once they found out, they're like, okay, this is really cool. And then, you know, they started to run the numbers and started to see, you know, to assess if things made sense. But for us, it's just about this continual push on marketing to kind of, you know, educate the community more about, you know, why this technology exists. And then why it's bullish for the entire, I guess, music industry and the artists that are involved as well. So I think that's probably the biggest part of it. And it's of course for us, it's a learning process for each and every drop. And of course we're subject to the market conditions as well. But you know, shout out to you guys. You guys are doing an incredible job. And it's just a matter of onboarding more and more artists from the Web2 space to the Web3 space. And, you know, once we get that big, incredible artist, you know, if they can do a drop with Noom, but then also do a, you know, community driven production as well, that's going to be next level. So I can't wait for that time.
Me and you both. And I'm super excited because, you know, in a rather short time, I guess, in the big scheme of things, you know, our artist portal will be going live. And that's going to essentially remove us from the equation of artists having to come to us for permission to do things. They'll be able to do it themselves. And so I think the next quarter is going to be exciting, I think, just in general for us, as well as just the music scene. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. So I think this is a good starting place, and I'm happy to see you guys find value in what we provide. And obviously you all provide wonderful value. So I think this is a good stopping place, unless anybody has any final thoughts or comments you want to make. And if not, we'll let you hop off.
Just want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the journey with us on it. And I agree. Education is key. Crypto education, music industry education. And, It's gonna take all of us getting behind that to onboard the Web2 communities.
Thank you, everybody, again for a wonderful space. It's just been wonderful to get to know and to know better Nastasia, and just for those that are tuning in to learn that there are real people and real life things attached to the Web3 space. It's real. It's not just something that lives behind your computer screen. It's moving faster than people think it is. And it is the future. And, you know, I'm just excited that we get to help be a part of bridging that. And Dunketsu, y'all are a big part of that as well. So thank y'all so much for a great space. Nastasia, you're wonderful. Welcome. And we'll definitely chat about EQ signatures and signal chains and microphones later. So thank you, everybody.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Shout out to everybody who showed up.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you, Nastasia, again for being here.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Peace. Okay. Have a good night, everybody.